From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Justin Martin. Ahead, Neiman's debuts a more thorough way to audition your outfits, the digital mirror. First, though, a third-grade teacher at Withers Elementary School in Dallas has been named the top bilingual teacher in the country. Irma De La Gordia accepts the award from the National Association for Bilingual Education this morning in Las Vegas. She teaches third graders at Withers Elementary School in a bright classroom where every object is labeled in English and Spanish. Money for classroom decor and supplies came from her Texas Bilingual Teacher of the Year Award.
We got a new rock for our reading center. We got a new beanbag for our reading center. We got several novels that we're currently reading, and they have been just so excited to receive all these resources.
Withers Elementary has had a dual language program for 8 years, and there's now a waiting list to get in. In Dallas ISD, dual language programs, English and Spanish-speaking kids are paired up in kindergarten or earlier, and help each other along as they learn subjects in both languages throughout elementary school. Now a fashion education aid. Neiman Marcus, Dallas's famous high-end retailer, is the first store with a full-size digital mirror. Shoppers can try on clothes while the mirror records them, and there's a side-by-side comparison feature to help choose between outfits. And would-be models can share looks with others online. Bill Zeeble visited Neiman's Innovation Lab and its Willabend store to take a look.
Disguised in a brushed stainless steel frame, the digital mirror looks like any of the others in Neiman Marcus's women's department.
What you see in Neiman Marcus, it's not a regular mirror. It's a digital mirror that we created.
Salvador Vilkoski is the CEO of MemoMe, which stands for Memory Mirror. Call the Silicon Valley company, and he's the one who answers. Just back from showing off the mirror at Milan's Fashion Week, he explains it's just a screen with a first-of-its-kind camera on top.
If you put the camera on top of a screen, you will look totally distorted. Your head will be big and your legs will be very short and you will look pretty funny. But what we are doing, we are correcting the perspective in real time from any distance that you stand in front of the mirror, and it looks like actually the camera is behind the screen.
This setup and a built-in recorder solves problems retailers have struggled with forever.
If I want to see what I look like from the back, right, I have to try to, turn my head, right, and see if I can twist my neck around enough to see what I'm looking at. I don't have to do that.
Scott Emmons' business card labels him as the enterprise architect and curator of the Neiman Marcus Eye Lab in Irving. What sets this mirror apart, he says, is that it records an 8-second video.
The idea is you would do a twirl, and then you can play that video back as many times as you'd like, right, and, really see how the outfit looks on you.
Back in the real world, Lori Schneider's taking a turn in front of the memory mirror at the Willow Bend Neiman. She did the quick registration on the store's iPad, added her personal ID, and is now checking out her video.
I like seeing the pictures because I like the visual. I like that a lot. And I do think that me being able to see the back, rather than from the creak of my neck, it shows it all the way around.
There's another thing the 360 view tells her.
Told me that I have some back fat. So, to me, this is awesome. The mirror's great.
Great because it lets her talk to the saleswoman about making the dress fit right. It's for her son's wedding. She was also able to get a second opinion by emailing a picture to her husband, Mike.
He said, "You knew I was going to like it because it's pink. He loves pink, so I kind of knew that would be a yes."
Neiman's Scott Emmons says if Schneider wanted to, she could have tried on several outfits and videoed them all.
It also allows you to do a split screen, and you can look at your live image on one side, and you can look at one of the pre-recorded videos on the other side and compare them side by side.
Neither Neiman nor Vilkoski would say how much the digital mirrors cost. The first two went into Neiman Marcus stores in California late last year. Last month, the third came here to Willow Bend.
It's a pretty big thing. I don't think it's the only big thing, but it's been a surprisingly big thing.
Emmons expects other retailers will soon latch onto this technology and suspects it could eventually be commonly used at home. Meanwhile, it's so new to Neiman Marcus, the company is still introducing it to customers while measuring its impact in sales and satisfaction on the bottom line. Bill Zeeble, KERA News.
For all that money you might spend on the right dress, you're saving some on gas right now. The slide in oil prices has been good news for drivers, but it sent the Texas oil business into a ditch. James Osborne's been digging into the implications of the bust. He's the energy writer for the Dallas Morning News, and he joins Vice President of News, Rick Holter, for this week's Friday Conversation.
James Osborne, welcome to the Friday Conversation.
Thank you for having me.
Let's start with ExxonMobil, which is based in Irving. It issued $7 billion in bonds this week and said it plans to cut global spending by 12%. How significant are those moves?
Well, you know, companies sort of borrow money every day, so it's not necessarily that unusual, though. The fact is that ExxonMobil is doing it, which has a huge stockpile of cash, being one of the largest oil companies in the world. That is somewhat unusual, and it's the sheer scale of it. It's the largest amount of money they've ever borrowed at any one time.
So why would a company like ExxonMobil borrow that much money when it has so much cash in the bank?
Well, what analysts are seeing is basically that Exxon, as amazing as this sounds, will be running a cash flow deficit this year, essentially meaning they're going to be spending more money than they're going to be bringing in, and that's a result of the fact that oil prices are half of what they were over the summer. So basically, Exxon, like any business, will need some cash to sort of keep its operations going. And, you know, it runs a capital budget in excess of $30 billion a year to drill for new wells. So in order to keep all of that going, they need more money.
I want to play a clip now from John Hofmeister. He's the former president of Shell Oil, and he was on the new public radio news magazine, Texas Standard, this week. Here's what he said.
I think we will see more rigs go down. I think we'll see as many as 1,200 out of 1,900 rigs in this country, frankly, be idled. And what we also know is that many of the drillers are actually drilling on borrowed money, and they have bank covenants which come due.
Are you hearing a lot of insiders talk that way?
It's interesting. There's sort of two camps on this. You know, there's a lot of people who are, you know, maintain this was all done very carefully and these companies aren't getting out over their skis, as they say. But there's definitely this line of thought that there is, you know, a lot of money out there. And the longer that oil prices stay down where they are, the more risk these companies get into. And there is going to be consolidation and there might be bankruptcies.
The number of U.S. oil rigs is the lowest it's been in 5 years. And that number dropped by a third just since December. What kind of impact is that having on areas like Midland, Odessa that are really dependent on the oil business?
That's pretty dramatic. Just the atmosphere. That was a town that boomed in the 80s and then went to sort of very quiet in the 90s when oil prices were low. And then all of a sudden had this huge resurgence recently. And they're going right back to the 80s again right now. Workers are coming back to Dallas or Houston, wherever they live. A lot of these guys work week on, week off shifts, so they're sort of back and forth. And they're coming back now and they're staying. And it's really cast a sort of shadow over that whole town.
Let's step back. Drivers are paying a bit more for gas this month, but prices are still low. When economists look at business in Texas and the, as it's been labeled, the Texas miracle, how much do those low gas prices balance with the pain that the business and these companies are feeling?
Yeah, I think economists mostly so far have said that Texas as a whole is going to take a hit, but we're going to continue to grow just at a slower rate, that the economy has diversified a lot since the 1980s, which anyone who was around back then will remember. DFW, for instance, expected to continue to grow. Houston, no doubt, will take a hit, and Midland will take a hit. I think a lot of it will be how long this oil price stays down where it is. But there's certainly a lot of people who don't think we've quite seen the worst of it yet.
James Osborne, energy writer for the Dallas Morning News. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
For the day, sunny skies with a high near 49. Tonight it should be clear with a low around 31. Now tomorrow, sunny and a slightly warmer high near 59. Now the National Weather Service is forecasting warmer weather next week. Monday brings in slight chances for showers with a high in the lower 60s. And by Thursday, the temperature should be in the 70s. It's currently 31 degrees in Dallas, 29 in Fort Worth, 32 in Tyler, and 35 in Wichita Falls. From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Justin Martin. You can like KERA News on Facebook or follow us on Twitter.